Good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome you here in Jesus' name. And I, too, want to welcome the visitors that are here. Hope you feel at home here, and we're glad you're here. So, it's good to be back home. It feels like it's been a long time, and it hadn't been that long. I just missed last Sunday. We wasn't feeling good, and we're still about half sick, I think, some of us anyway, so... Hopefully, I won't sneeze on y'all this morning, so get ready if I do, I guess. Or blow my nose. I may pull out a red hanky. Y'all just have to tell yourselves it's white. I don't have any white hankies, so anyway. So I wonder, I was thinking about the new year some, and I was thinking about goals, and did anybody make New Year's resolutions? I've never made very many New Year's resolutions. I thought I did one time, and it didn't last very far into the year. And so I wonder, when I look out at y'all, if any of y'all did that. Did you have a New Year's resolution that you thought of? And will you meet that goal this year if you did? And if you made one last year, did you meet that goal? And so I was thinking about that. And as I think about our Christian life, and I look back, so you look back at the past year, and did you do everything the way God would wanted you to? Did you live godly like God wanted you to? And I can assure you that I did not always live as godly as I should have last year. And that's something that we should always strive to do, and we should strive to do it this year, every new year. And yet I can just as assuredly tell you that this coming year, against my wishes, I'm sure there's times that I will not live as godly as what I want to. And there'll be things that I'll probably say that I have to make right. And I'm not planning on that. But we as humans, we fail, and we find ourselves going away from God sometimes. And so, godly living is making our wrongs right. And so we can live godly in that way. And so you're probably thinking I'm going to talk about New Year's, and that's not really what I'm going to talk about. I was thinking of, just the differences in people and who might do New Year's resolutions, who might think different, and just the differences in all of us here. And I can sit here and I can play each of you through my mind, and I come up with an opinion of you, and you can do it to every one of your fellow sisters and brothers. You play them through your mind, and I'm included in that. And what do you see? What do you think of me? And what do I think of you? And what do I think of myself? There's differences in all of us. Romans 14, and this is somebody, a pretty good while back, somebody mentioned to me to use this for a sermon. And so I had stayed away from it for a long time. And then I decided to try it. So I don't know, it went pretty hard for me. So I hope it all makes sense. Excuse me. Romans 14. Romans 14, and I'll just read the whole chapter and then come back and we'll kind of go through it. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For Christ hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, and I forgot to mention something. I'll hold up just a little bit here. I do want to thank y'all, the church here, very much for the love offering that we received a few weeks ago, and I've been meaning to tell you that. I really do appreciate it. It's a blessing, and I know it comes at a sacrifice to y'all. So it's money y'all earned and y'all gave away, so thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, so what I see here, the first part of this, when I first looked at this, at the top of the headline, mine says weak and strong believers, but then this sounds like it's basically just starting and talking about the weak in faith. And so the way I would understand this is there will be weak and strong Christians. And I'm not saying there's not less mature Christians, but this here was focusing on a weakness that the Christians had. Paul was writing about the time when they was used to, they couldn't eat certain meats, and then Christ came along and he took that all away, and yet they were still holding on to that, and it was offending some of them. It was causing, you know, it's easy for us, or it's hard for us to sit here today and think about how could eating meat make you sin or feel like sinning, and yet it was a big deal to these people, and they had to figure it out, because some of them was Gentiles and they was fine with just eating meat, and they was ready to move on and clear this up. So there will be weak and strong Christians, and that's why I was thinking of the differences in people, because basically there's differences in all of us. And we view weak or strong as good or bad, and yet, what is a weak Christian? The weak Christians here that Paul was talking about were actually the conservative people. They was conservative. They wanted to make sure they had this big deal about eating meat, and yet, we would look at people and say if they're conservative, they're strong, and yet. This is who Paul was calling weak. And so we have conservative, I don't like to use the word liberal, but we have conservative and liberals. We might as well just say that as far as Some people will do things and other people won't. And it's not a right or wrong, and yet they feel different about it. And I've said it before. I don't think I've ever said it in front of church. You could take the two most, we'll just go with the liberal. You can go with two most liberal people in church. If you have somebody classed in your mind as the two most liberal people, and you take them out here in the parking lot, in just a little bit, you're going to have a liberal and a conservative, because they're not going to feel the same about everything. One of them is going to feel more conservative about something. He's going to have an opinion about something that doesn't line up with the other. And you can do it with the most conservative people in your mind in church too. So we have the two differences. There's people that feel different about things. And that is basically what I would understand that this is looking at here. The first two verses, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. If one believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And this is focusing on the meat. But what is a weak Christian? Immature. Should we ever, and then I was thinking, so should we ever feel strong? Should we feel like we're strong in the faith? Should that be something we have stamped on our coat, that we're strong? I would hesitate to walk up to somebody and say, yeah, I'm strong in the faith. You know, we all have our weaknesses. So when I look at this, when I look at this, I know this is relating specifically to this problem Paul was looking at. But don't every one of us have weaknesses and every one of us have strength? I think there is that. And we definitely have different opinions. I can guarantee you that. And that's good. That's the way God made it. That's the way it should be. And so as you look at your brothers and your sisters, how do you rate them? How do you see them? What do you see? Are some weak and some strong in your mind? And how do we view ourselves? Do we see ourselves the same as others? It tells us here in these first two verses, we're to accept the immature or weak in faith. And how do we do that? How do we apply that today to accept the weak or the immature? You know, today we're not struggling with should we eat meat or not. I don't think anybody in here says meat's a sin to eat. That's not something we face today. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. To the weak became I as weak. Excuse me. I might have to have Ernie finish this. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So this here would give the thought of getting down on their level. Get down with them. Don't have all the answers to life for them. Just listen to them and get down on their level. Make them feel accepted. Also, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 25 through 27. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. And a thought I found on this is, don't go looking for problems. Don't go looking at people trying to figure out what they're doing wrong. Don't look for that. Paul is telling us to not make spiritual maturity a requirement to join church, basically. Because who's going to say at what point are you mature? Now, it doesn't give you a need to discern between immaturity and rebellion or whatever like that. But don't require them to be mature Christians before we accept people. a weak in faith person. It could be a new Christian. It could be someone who is sick or diseased by legalism. That could be a weak Christian. It could be someone running low on spiritual food because they haven't had good teaching. And we are to accept them. In Paul's mind, thank you, Peanut. He brought me a... I thought about asking for one earlier, but... And thinking about the meat, Paul wasn't calling them a weak Christian because of the meat. It was the legalistic attitude they had about it and judging the others. That's why they was weak. It wasn't the meat. They probably thought they were the strong ones. And just an example of that, I was talking to Dad the other day, and we was talking about some different things and how, you know, stuff years ago, or people that we was talking about, a person that we knew that years ago, well, even some of it came all the way until he's not living anymore, but up till his death, he wouldn't do certain things. He had this standard that he would stay by, and he wouldn't put certain stuff on his house, and years ago it. And then later in life, things change. And so Dad was telling me about this fella. I didn't know him, and I don't think anybody here does either. But years ago, I don't even remember what year it was. It was a lot longer than I would have thought they had electric windows and heaters in cars or something. This guy had bought a truck, and it had electric roll-up windows and an air conditioner, I believe it was. It must have been one of the first ones. And a preacher, I don't remember what the preacher's name was, but he came around there and he had revival meetings. And he wouldn't ride in that truck because he thought that was too much. It was wrong, or I guess it was wrong to him. And he wouldn't ride in it. So he judged that, you know, I'll say. But today, things change and we don't even think about it. We think about it if it don't have a roll-up window. And so, you know, we need to be careful about those things, that it's not spelled out in the Bible. Maybe it is wrong for us. It can be wrong for us and not wrong for you. That there is differences. It's not our place to judge any fellow Christians. We'll read verse 3 and 4 there again. Well, I wasn't back at my place. Romans 14, verse 3 and 4. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So it's not our place to judge our fellow brother or sister. You know, God is our judge. And we shouldn't do that. Matthew 7, verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. And when I say that, not to judge somebody, I mean things that you can't go to the Bible. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And we can judge it based on that. We don't back up from what the Bible says is wrong. That's not what we're talking about here. We judge accordingly. If the Bible says... If the Bible pronounces judgment on it, there's judgment on it. But we should not judge our brother or sister with our personal opinion or conscience. Some things that we don't feel like we should do. We shouldn't push that on our brother and sister. Some people, there's many different areas. Some people will treat Sunday a little different than others, and there's lines they draw for themselves that they won't do. And it's not a right or wrong, but to that person that's where they feel right, and it is a right or wrong to that person. Verse 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his mind, in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. You know, we need to be convinced of what we do. We need to know. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 30. First Corinthians 10:30, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I will give thanks? If what we do is for God's glory, it shouldn't offend others. It shouldn't be evil spoken of. Moving on to verse 7 through 9. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. When Christ lives in us, then we live for him, and everything we do is for him, and we trust our future to him. Yeah, our whole life revolves around Christ. We live and we die, and we're God's. Verses 10 to 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, the strict Christian found it very easy to judge his brother, writing him off as an unspiritual, meat-eating compromiser. And the free Christian found it easy to show contempt against his brother, regarding him as an uptight, legalistic, better man. And so there was wrong on both ways. They was both wrong. And when I look at this, so we don't just, from what I get from this, just because we know somebody has a line drawn for him, he might be more conservative or he might be more liberal, that doesn't mean that I automatically have to match that. And one time when I was a youth, we all had it was a big thing back when I was young to have stuff hanging from your mirror of your pickup, and I don't know what all, your keychain and whatever. It was part of your identity, I guess. I don't care much about it anymore, but I had some of this stuff, and I knew of a guy in church that was way more conservative, and I knew he wouldn't approve of it. So I got to thinking about this one time, and I thought, you know, I need to do whatever I can to make peace or whatever. I don't know what all my thoughts was. But I started taking all this stuff out of my vehicle and, you know, just taking it all down just because of this other brother. And, you know, that felt good for a little. But where was I going to stop? And if that's what I was supposed to do, or if that's what everybody's supposed to do, then we would all look like whoever we deem as the most conservative person. And so I don't believe that's what God asks of us. I think we need to be careful with it, but just because there's differences, there can be differences. What Paul is saying here is stop worrying about your brother. You have enough to answer for before Jesus, for yourself. Isaiah 45:23 tells us that every knee will bow. We should let God deal with our brother or sister. And I wouldn't say this means that you never talk to your brother or sister. If you feel like there's a spiritual problem with your brother or sister, it's your God-given duty to go talk to them. I believe that. We shouldn't force what we think on other people, I guess was a thought there. Verses 13 through 15. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And so all of a sudden here, it kind of turns. It turns a little from the liberty that we talked about. We have this liberty and we should be able to enjoy our liberty. Maybe different from other people. But now it says, it turns from this liberty and don't judge people to don't judge, but don't let your liberty cause one of your brothers or sisters to sin. We do need to honor their conviction. So if it's going to cause a problem in your brother or sister's life, or it's going to actually cause them to stumble and fall, then you don't have the liberty to do what you feel is okay. Verse 16 to 19. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So it's a good thing to have this liberty. It's good to have it in Christ, but not when we use it to destroy a brother or sister. Then it would be spoken of as evil, and that should never be. Romans 12, verse 18 says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, so let's read verse 20 through 23, the end of the chapter there. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, and I'll read this here. It's a quote I found about this. It says, do you have strong faith and liberty? Praise God. But have your strong faith before God, not before a brother who will stumble. I thought that was good. We can enjoy our liberty in God, but there's a right place for it maybe. And I'm not talking about our liberty giving us an excuse to sin. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about simply something that your conscience is fine before God doing it. It's not condemned in the Bible. And your church don't have a rule against it, whatever. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about using this liberty to go justify sinning. But don't do that to where it will cause another weak brother to stumble and fall. So that's about all I have on this. I would just say, God bless you as you enjoy your liberty in Christ, as you let God judge your brother, and as you love your brother above your liberty, and as you listen to your conscience. Let's stand for prayer.